Doodly do. Go Gogs.
What?
Welcome to Movie the Podcast. That's right, Movie the Podcast. It is August. That's right, all pigs all the time. And we
Yes.
got to watch a French movie with a pig on the cover called Delicatessen. Deli for short.
With some of the most French, it's a French movie with the most French looking cast you can ever imagine.
This
Oh my God.
cast is so French.
Has there ever been an uglier leading man in any movie ever?
I love that actor. He's been in a ton of movies, but like, yeah, he is like the most French person I've ever seen in my life. Like,
And like he's great in it. He's fun. He's like Charlie Chaplin, kind of like
he's
just
really good.
caricature. But everyone's French as fuck. It's in this bizarre post-apocalypse where there's aliens and shit. There's sewer dwellers. The movie is legit bananas.
It is a farce. It is a farcical, you know,
It is
whimsical film. It is very,
the most
very.
whimsical apocalypse I've ever seen.
Yeah. For like when you break it to, boil it down to like what the movie's actually about, it's kind of dark, but like it's told in such a
Kinda
way.
dark.
It's told in such a way where it's like kind of not. It's kind of like silly and charming.
Right, it's like if Dr. Seuss had to write a book about cannibalism.
Yeah, exactly.
Know?
But yeah, we watched Delicatessen, and I can't ever remember the guy's name that directed it, but Jean something something something. So
Claude Van Damme.
he has a very very French name.
And their lentil-based economy.
Jean Pierre Jeanette is his name.
Actually, so the guy, the main
Or
character,
Jeanne. When you say with the T's in French, you're like.
the T's don't exist in France.
So it's Jean-Pierre Jeanne.
I would
It's
assume.
Jeunet.
Alec, you were just in Greece. That's close
They
enough.
speak French in Greece, right?
What do you think?
About his name?
Yeah,
Yeah, how do you
not the
pronounce his
silent
name?
T situation.
I'm looking it
The
up.
French don't really do silent T, do they?
I think that
Like
isn't that their whole thing?
Pinot Noir is not peanut noir.
That's true, but
Hello,
baguette is.
And
Ayam
Baguette is
Resurrection.
not bagu.
And filet and Monet
Hold on,
and
I got a YouTube clip right
Ménage à
here.
trois. That's the only T I can think of.
And we are looking at how to pronounce the name of famous French director who is
Oh my
responsible
God,
for
just say it.
directing such famous movie.
Okay.
It's
Amelie,
Petit
we know
Selon
that.
the City of the Lost.
Oh my
So
God.
how do you go about pronouncing the name of this French director, movie director,
Just
cinema
say it.
director, Jean-Pierre Jeunet?
Hey, I
The
was
T
right.
at the end of
Jean-Pierre Jeunet.
That sounded like Taika Waititi doing a French
I
accent.
think he speaks French, actually.
That makes sense. He seems like a learned man.
Yeah. All right. Well, what'd you guys watch this week? Alec. Oh, no Sean this week. He's sucking his dad's dick.
Something of dad's dick.
Going back to the
Oh.
classics. Classics and classics for a reason, Alec.
Don's dad's insatiable.
Oh my God.
And no, he doesn't want to want it. It's Sean.
I know.
Sean's
Oh
insatiable.
wow. Sean's
Wow.
insatiable.
That's a plot
Damn.
twist.
It's a whole like what's wrong with the Robinsons kind of situation.
I watched, I'm trying to get a count in my head. One,
Oh
two,
no.
three,
Reeve.
three and a half things. We watched Observe and Report,
Man, I haven't
which
watched
I've
that in
oh wow, I've seen
ages.
before. That movie is, it's so fucked up and so good though.
Yeah,
It's
that turn
great.
it
And
takes
it's a
right in
real,
the third act.
it's got a lot of turns and a lot of twists. Some that don't necessarily pan out to anything, but they're still good. Like when he beats the shit out of Danny McBride's whole crew and drags the kid to the police station. And what's the cop's name? Ray Liotta. What the fuck? I dropped you up there to get killed, not to beat everybody up. That movie's tremendous, though. I think it's really... this is the second time I've seen it, and I think probably in less than a year. The first time I saw it wasn't that long ago. But it's, like, a really... I don't know if it's intended this way, because I don't know how deep of a director Jody Hill is, aside from, like, his comedy's pretty thick.
Right.
But it's, like, a really interesting commentary on, like, mental health.
Yeah, I really thought about it that
which,
way.
Which, like, the first time I watched that, I didn't think about that at all. Because, like, it's just watching Seth Rogen be absolutely have, like, clueless as to what's actually going on in the world. But then, like so many people, it seems like you hear about, like, he has a couple of good things happen, and he's like, my life was turned around, now I don't need my meds. And then he immediately falls off a cliff, and it ends up kind of working out at the end, but he's just going fucking insane. That whole third act is just fucking wild.
Kind of.
I mean, he gets his job back, and he gets girl. Not the girl he wanted, but the girl he needed.
The better girl, anyway.
The girl he deserved.
Because the girl he wanted was kind of shitty.
Oh, yeah, she was
shit. I still, like, one day I'm going to ask Jody Hill if he ever does an AMA. I still think at the very end they were originally going to kill that guy. At the very end, like the pervert.
He shoots?
Like, yeah. I feel like it's weird that he doesn't die. I feel like the scene is set up for him to die and they changed it at the last minute, but.
But Observer Report, really good. Really.
Underrated. Like no one really talks about that movie.
But does anybody really talk about any Jody Hill movies?
Yeah.
Not really.
Not just us.
His TV shows get more acclaim than his movies.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt.
Was that Michael Peña's first real break onto the scene?
I'm not sure.
He was in other stuff, but that was definitely a big role.
He's great in it, too. And then he sent that postcard from Mexico at the end, and it's all, like, apologetic and heartfelt, and you're like, oh, he really did love, like, he wasn't just using him, he really did love him. Like Seth Rogen's character as like a brother. That movie's fucking tremendous stuff. Like all Jody Hill's shit that I've seen is good. Like The Foot Fist Way was pretty good.
I like everything.
I never saw the one with Jesse Eisenberg.
Oh, that. Youth in Revolt? I love that movie.
No, not Youth in Revolt. Jesse Eisenberg, not Michael Cera.
The
other karate movie.
Yeah, that was him, wasn't it? Or was that somebody else?
No, that's somebody else.
Maybe you guys compared it to Foot Fist Way.
It's similar, yeah, it's very similar to that. But you're thinking of Art of Self-Defense.
Yeah, that's it. Foot Fist Way is very good. I'm dragging it, what else he's directed, but his shows are really good too. Like, Jody Hill's a hell of a...
Do you do a lot of Eastbound and Down?
He executive produced and co-created it.
I also get Jody Hill confused with the Napoleon Dynamite guy, Jared.
Jared.
I get them mixed up sometimes. They get the same initials, JH. Huh. Interesting.
I see that.
Jody Hill has a lot to do with. I know he produces and I think he's directed a few episodes. He actually acts in that too. He's in The Mighty Gemstones.
Oh, you know, now he's actually. I don't think I knew what he looked like, but he's in a lot of like now that I see his face, like I recognize him. Like he's in Foot Fist Way. I just don't think I ever really knew what he looked like.
Guys, if you haven't seen the Righteous Gemstones, like you need to get on that.
Yeah, I got through.
One of the best fucking shows out there right now.
Liz and I watched the first episode and we really enjoyed it. And then is it the end of the first or the second one where they commit vehicular, maybe manslaughter, possibly just assault?
End of the first one. And they just keep going in circles in the, driving in circles in the parking lot over and over.
That got a little too dark for Liz. So I need to go back I need to just revisit that on my own.
Tell her to get through it. Like, I think she would love the show. Because it has some dark moments, but that's probably about about the most brutal I can think of.
I was about to say Liz doesn't do well with dark moments, but she's rewatching Game of Thrones as a comfort show. So like, what are we doing here? Like she watches The Wire for a comfort show. I think once she knows what's going to happen.
Are you watching House of Dragons? Did you watch House of Dragons yet?
I have not.
It's pretty good.
I've not watched any House of Dragons.
You watch it. It's pretty good.
No, they lost me on Game of Thrones now just because of how they ended.
They fumbled the bag, as the kids would say.
Yeah. Real bad. Like, you couldn't have fumbled a bag any worse. It's like, it's literally it. Like...
I don't disagree.
The books are not coming out anymore, right? Like, that's
I don't think
they
die.
They're gonna be finished by somebody else. I bet you he dies, and all three books come out within like 2 years.
Mm. Or they'll do
crank the shit out of the rest.
They'll do what Brian Herbert did after Frank Herbert died, and he'll like instead of because I think right now he's saying it's gonna be two more books. But he'll die and they'll be like, oh, it'll be five more books. It's from his notes. Like, they'll just stretch it out and out and out.
The notes, like, Dragons in Space, ? Game of Thrones 2099.
Just let Brian Herbert pick it up and let him run with it. Fuck it.
I'm gone. I'm kind of pissed off because there's a Dune TV show that's coming out. Dune Prophecy, and I was like, cool, a Dune TV show takes place in the same, you know, cinematic universe as the movies, but it's based on Sisterhood of Dune, which is a Brian Herbert book, and I'm like, oh no. Like, it's gonna be bad.
Last night we rewatched Cocaine Bear.
Yeah, I remember you saying you liked that. I think
that movie's a blast. That movie's a ton of fun. It's so fucking gory.
It's a good time.
But it's wacky fun, like, the whole time. Like, this bear is tremendous. He's a tremendous actor. The people get like, ripped to shreds. Like, it's very graphic, like, gory. It's really good. It's really fun. Directed by Elizabeth Banks, who I think she made bank with that movie, which disproves her own theory that people won't go see movies directed by women. They just want movies about bears on cocaine.
That is true.
Like, that's all we need. Just finished a movie called The Skeleton Twins. Kristen Wiig and Bill Hader and Luke Wilson's in it.
I like all those people.
Yeah. It's a dark comedy.
Is it new?
Super funny. No, it's like 10 years old. It's not super funny, but it's got funny moments. Bill Hader is a strange from his family kind of, and he attempts suicide and fails, and his sister comes and gets him and brings him home to kind of keep an eye on him and heal him. He moves in with her husband, who is Luke Wilson, and hijinks ensue, kind of. It was pretty good. It wasn't.
I love Bill Hader. I love Chris.
Bill Hader's one of my favorites.
Where did you watch this film?
I actually watched it on a new movie app that I had to download today because the Plex wasn't working. I couldn't watch Delicatessen. This app is called. Oh shit! Hold on, let me pull it up. The only place where it was free.
Jack
Flicks. Oh, it's called Hoopla. It's another
app
where you can you can attach your library card and then rent all kinds of movies and shit.
We should start a movie app called MacGuffin. Is there one called MacGuffin?
No, but that's the name of the bar at AMC. It's called MacGuffin's.
Damn it. Which is hilarious. Great. A+, AMC. Nicole Kidman did a great job.
Oh yeah, Nicole Kidman is so smart. So good at marketing.
Mm-hmm.
And the last thing I watched, I'm like 2/3 of the way through Deadpool vs. Wolverine. We found this site to stream it on.
Oh yeah.
The stream only lasts for so long and then it craps out. So I've been watching it in like chunks.
What's the video quality look like?
It's not bad.
Yeah.
It's not perfect, but like I've seen worse.
Yeah.
So I pulled up, watched it on my phone and cast it to my TV, but.
Nice.
Yeah. And like three sittings, I'm probably two thirds of the way through. It just, I don't know what happens to the feed, but eventually every time the feed just kind of
stops. I appreciate you taking up the GOG's mantle of watching movies like a quarter at a time. Challenging yourself.
It wasn't by choice. I tried to watch it all at once. Yeah. But so far I like it.
I've heard good things. TJ's the only one that's been
dunking
on it thus far.
First of all, did I really dunk on it?
You said it sucked shit.
I didn't love it, okay? I just think it's kind of a mess. I didn't even say it was bad. I just said it was like, I just didn't think it was amazing.
Said it was a tragic misappropriation.
No. If you want to hear about tragic misappropriations, I have a movie for you that I'm going to talk about here momentarily, so.
That's a dovetail.
Yeah.
I'll report on the full movie by next week, hopefully, but, so far, I think it's pretty fun. It's not my favorite by any chance. Mm-hmm. And like, he's leaning into the fourth wall stuff way too much. Like in the first two movies, like he talked to the camera sometimes, and, like, that's fine, but like everything in this movie is,
it's like wall. Every scene. Yeah. That's
like,
one
it's
of my
like, thoughts.
Yeah.
And in the first two movies, he does it. It kind of, did both movies start with like those long flashbacks?
Yeah.
That are almost like 20 minutes long, and this one does too. But even once that flashback is like done, like in the other movies, when you're caught up to date, kind of, he doesn't really do it as much. But so far, this one, he's still constantly like,
oh yeah, it never
constantly stopped. Like looking right at you, basically. But like their chemistry together, the two of them, is absolutely out of this world. Like they have such good chemistry, Logan and Deadpool. It's phenomenal. Right now, I'm at the point where they're in, whatever that place is called, the Netherworld or whatever.
Limbo or whatever.
Yeah. They just met the other team.
Oh, right, yeah. That part's fun. That scene's fun.
And they're trying to convince them to go to war with them. The scene with, where the guy got his skin ripped off was fucking disgusting. Yeah,
that was hilarious.
Like, it's really funny, but like.
It has its moments. The movie is not, again, it's not bad. I just didn't, it's not like a, people are saying it's like a 10 out of 10. I'm like, no, I don't know. I think if I watch it a second time at home, I'll probably like it more.
Would you have enjoyed it more watching it?
Shit! Sean!
Oh, shit!
Oh, we got a wild Sean has appeared.
What up? Just here wild.
Do you have a ward of the state joining us for the podcast?
Oh shit.
Yeah, no, I just brought it with me so I could hear about French cinema.
Isn't it weird that Robin in the TV show is played by Burt Ward?
Right? I always thought that was a little on the nose.
I'm sure that's why they did it.
If his name was Bird Ward, it would have been better.
It was Bird Ward.
Not to be confused with Bird War, which is the premise of Owls of Ghoul.
Shout out to Bird War.
No, I got nothing else. TJ.
Thank you. I watched, One Giant Piece of Crap and, one movie that I thought was pretty good. In other words, I watched two things.
Two things.
Thank you. First off, I watched Borderlands. I just wanted to, Alex usually good with the, like, fast trivia about movies, but I saw this as we started, and I had this in this headline, Borderlands on track to be the biggest bomb in cinema history. $110 million budget, $110 million budget versus a $4 million opening box office.
Oh, no.
Their target audience did not show up for this movie.
I mean, I did. But again, thank you, AMC, because if I had to pay for it, there ain't no way I would have gone. As everybody on the show knows,
Didn't they release this like on Hulu or something at the same time?
No. This is only in theaters. Now the weird thing is, this movie has been finished. Apparently, this movie finished shooting before Eli Roth shot Thanksgiving. So this movie has been done and in the can for years.
Really?
Oh, no.
And they shelved it. So I don't know why they didn't just put it to fucking streaming. So here's the other thing that I thought was interesting, because there's a lot of, like, weird, like, behind-the-scenes shit. Are you guys familiar? I don't – Sean, I know, is. But are you guys familiar with Alan Smithy, the legend of Alan Smithy?
I feel like I've heard the name, but I don't know what it's referencing.
Yeah. So basically, Alan Smithy is a fake name that directors that didn't want to put their name on a project would just put use Alan Smithy. I was actually thinking about this today. That would be a fun month to do just the Alan Smithy month. But, like, famously, Dune, David Lynch's Dune, is directed by Alan Smithy. So, anyway, the Borderlands was originally written by the guy that wrote Chernobyl and Last of Us. Huh. I forget his name.
Chernobyl, the TV show?
Yeah.
No, yeah. The place.
Ah.
Yeah.
So he didn't write that event. That was bad.
He wrote the original script to this Borderlands movie. And then they hired Eli Roth. And Eli Roth apparently just rewrote the entire script. And then the original guy, whose name eludes me, and the reason I brought up Alan Smithy is his name is on this movie, but it's this new fake name. It's like David Crumbus or something ridiculous. but anyway.
Sounds like I got a shot at punching that up.
So he wrote the script. Eli Roth came in, rewrote the entire script, and the guy was like, no, you take my name off this. Like, I don't want to be involved with this. This is not my movie. And so what makes this movie even worse is that presumably there was a better draft of this movie somewhere else, and Eli Roth was like, no, we need to change it to this. And it is the most soulless, just flat, boring-ass movie you will ever see. All the casting is bad. Like, all the casting is, like, it's so against type for all the characters. And I'm a huge, as you all know, I'm a huge Borderlands fan. I love that series. And all the characters are wrong, like, every single one of them. And they're, like, it's one of those things where it'd be one thing if he cast against type and then did something with it, like he was trying to make some kind of statement. But, like, he's not. And, like, Cate Blanchett's a great actress. I don't think anybody's going to argue that. But, like, I don't want to see her as, like, Star-Lord. Like, it just doesn't work. Like, I don't need to see, like, a 65-year-old woman, like, doing, like, pirouettes and, like, shooting a gun. It just looks ridiculous. And she looks bored and doesn't really care.
But you loved her as Hela, did you not?
Yeah, she's great. She doesn't do a lot of physicality in that movie, though. She's mostly, like, kind of posing a lot in that movie. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like she's not in, like, fist fights in that movie. At least not that I can remember.
I know she does a lot of sword things.
Also,
film is the kick-ass two of Double Dragon movies.
Yeah, and I think the thing is that with Thor Ragnarok's a good point of reference, because the big difference between that movie and Borderlands is that movie has a good director and good art direction. This movie is devoid of any of that. And it's crazy because Borderlands, like, it's a great looking game. It's a very expansive world. And this thing just looks flat and just bland. I hated it.
Would they have been better off just making a Into the Spider-Verse-esque cel-shaded animated movie?
One million percent. 1,000,000%. Or if they, I kept thinking as I was watching it, I was like, they should have given this to somebody like, I don't know, somebody like crazy. Like, give it to somebody that would do something fun with it. Like, I always throw out. Yeah, actually. Or like, give it to the fucking Turbo Kid people. Like, that would have been fun. Yeah. Like, they know how to make like fun and violence together. Give them like a big budget. See what that would have been like. Like, Eli Roth like can't direct action. He certainly can't direct comedy because every joke in this falls so fucking flat, and he does it's like the easiest jokes and setups Eli Roth doesn't know how to pay off, right? Like, so the very beginning, Roland, played by Kevin Hart, who's like this super soldier guy, he breaks out Tiny Tina from jail, right?
And it's literally kind of mimicking the Luke Skywalker rescuing Princess Leia from her cell or whatever. And Tina says something like, my dad sent his shortest soldier. And like in a normal movie with a director that knows how to like pay off a joke visually, there would have been like, you would have seen Kevin Hart and assumed he was like a big guy. But then when she says that, they like show like a camera angle that shows he's actually almost as tall as this small child. And that's a funny joke. But what does Eli Roth do? Everything is just like flat, like three quarters shot. It's like, what are you doing?
I can see the camera move. You just shoot it from his feet upwards and then a vertical and shoot downwards. And then that's your joke.
Yeah. How hard is that to figure out, dude? Like that, I mean, have you seen a movie, Eli Roth? Like, I don't know. It's so bad. I knew it was going to be bad walking into it. I mean, it was, when I went and saw it Friday night, it had a 0 on Rotten Tomatoes. Not that that's the end all be all, but that is pretty bad. And I think now it's sitting at like a 5%. And people are saying it's worse than Madam Web. I would still say Madam Web is worse. Because Madam Web is not a movie. This is a movie. It's just an incompetent and boring movie. Mm. Borderlands, absolute trash.
I like that it implies that Madam Web was not incompetent nor boring.
Well, no, but Madam Web, made no fucking sense. Like, there was no, the plot made absolutely, Borderlands makes sense. It's just super boring, and cliche. Like, the thing is, the villain is just this guy, and it's just cool. They have to go to the vault.
I mean, we were talking about this, though. The first Borderlands is just, the plot of the original Borderlands game is super thin.
It's non-existent.
That game is trading on its gameplay. The plot doesn't get good till 2, and that's probably what they should have focused on, because that's when everyone suddenly gave a shit about the lore.
The lore was good in 2, and then if you was like, TJ, make a Borderlands movie, I would just basically adapt 2. You know what I mean?
Like, Telltale 1 not being bad.
The Telltale game was really good. Yeah, Telltale game was great, but I don't know. It really sucks.
Wasn't the Telltale game post 2?
Yes.
Yes. I think there were 2 Telltale games.
There was, I believe. It was Tales from the Borderlands, right?
Yeah.
But it's real, real bad. And it's one of those things where, I don't know, anytime a movie like that comes out and everybody hates on it and it's universally shit on, I'm like, maybe I'm going to, you know what I mean? Maybe there's something in it that I'm going to see that be like, I thought it was kind of cool. No.
Just a Morbius.
Well, but that's a good example, right? Like, everybody was kind of laughing with Morbius, and then we watched it and was like, oh, this sucks. It's not even fun to watch. Like, it's not even fun bad, you know? And again, we've watched enough shitty movies to know the difference, right? I get tired of arguing with normies. We're like, well, don't you like terrible movies? Like, well, no, there's a certain kind of terrible movie that I like. Like Venom 2. I mean, that is my kind of terrible movie. That movie is fucking hilarious. I love it. But Morbius was watching paint dry.
I like movies that are bad where people tried really hard to make a good movie and didn't understand how to do it. Not that they were just ruining it.
Yeah, I mean, Madam Web and Borderlands are just bad, and just there's no effort put into them at all.
While New York Ninja is excellent.
Oh yeah, New York Ninja fucking rules. And
well, if you're gonna fail, fail with all your heart.
And Shauna, this Gina Gershon for some reason, and her 70-year-old ass is Moxley, which is what are you doing?
Love me a Gina Gershon though.
And
love a prime Gershon.
Oh, come on. Absolutely.
I'll take a 70-year-old Gershon. I'm not ashamed of it.
She's confident she's sub 60.
What? I mean, whatever. If you're over 35 in Hollywood, you may as well be 150.
Oh no, she's a full blown 62 and looking fine. Fine.
She looked fine. I don't know if that was the first actress that came to mind when I thought of Mad Moxie, but
they probably couldn't get Famke Janssen. She was busy.
Yeah, I said on the TikTok. I said that this movie felt like a celebrity baseball tournament. It didn't feel like a movie. Like the actors,
they was like,
like, what the fuck is this movie? Anyway,
Roger McDowell, Handsome Jack.
Anyway, don't watch Borderlands. It sucks. We'll probably end up watching it on the show. I can definitely see it as a show movie. The other movie I watched is a little weird independent horror movie called Cuckoo, which I really liked. It's not perfect. It's a little wonky in the third act, but like, kind of like what Sean was talking about last week. I like ambitious swings, and this one's like real fucking weird. Like it's that weird cross section of like horror and sci-fi and like kind of like art house aesthetics. And I don't know. I really enjoyed it. Dan Stevens is in it, and he's playing like the most arch German scientist, and it fucking rules. Like every time he's on screen, he's like got that fucking just like stereotypical like evil German accent, and I couldn't get enough of it. Hunter Schafer's in it; she's great. I really liked it. It's full of like weird body horror stuff that they throw in there, and I don't know. Again, it's a fun like it's a little over an hour and a half. It's got a fun premise, and then when it's over, you're like, well, some of that didn't really make any sense, but I don't care. Like, I was in for the ride, you know? But that's another solid Neon film, they put out. So good for Neon. Really liked Cuckoo. Solid movie. Fun movie. Yeah. So, Gogs.
I watched. Two and two half things.
Two and two half things?
So, what do we watch? Wait a second.
Isn't two halves a whole?
They're two different halves.
Oh.
Right. Anywho. So, easy. Like, I just talked about this last week. I'm talking about it again because my kids are in a fucking rut. And I love it. We just keep watching Guardians of the Galaxy. It's like on heavy repeat in my house. Loving it. Still loving it. But then
Watch the third one. Damn it.
Well, we're going to, because one of the half things I watched was Guardians 2. Still love that. A lot of fun. Right. Rewatched all of Next Goal Wins, because I was feeling like kind of like down in the dumps.
I still need to watch that.
See, that movie is like uplifting and just like happy. Like, so, if you want to feel better, strong recommend for Next Goal Wins. It's super good. And I just love all of the people from American Samoa, just like leaving it out there on the field. It's fun and heartwarming, strong feel good vibes. And then this is going to be a controversial take for the last half of the movie I watched.
Here we go. Let's go.
I watched 2/3, and I'm going to finish it up. I meant to finish it up today, but I didn't have a chance. I watched most of A Violent Nature, and I didn't hate it.
Oh, God, I did. I don't know. How did you stay awake?
I mean, it is like slow, but it's like, I think intentionally so. And it's like kind of like, I don't know. There's something about it that was kind of doing it for me. Like, I did not. I put it on and I expected to just be like completely turned off by it. And the sort of weird, quiet, like, I'm trying, like impending sort of not dread, but just like, I don't know, the way it just keeps, I don't know. I did not hate it. So I'm going to see how it ends. Maybe it ends terrible, but so far I'm like kind of with it. So I know you did not care for it.
I did not. Now that one,
it was a real Wolverine. You said that
I hated. Well, yeah, no, I hated Out of Violet. I thought that was just utter garbage.
I don't know. Some of the kills are. Oh, there he goes.
What the hell's that?
He dropped a little note in the chat. He said, "If I drop out, I'll get back on."
Drop a little note.
Some of the kills are brutal in that movie.
I mean, yeah.
And like, I don't know, just kind of like, it's not like It Follows, but it's like you're just there the whole time. Just like, there's no jump scares, right? So you just kind of just, yeah. And I don't like jump scares. Like, it's just like,
I hate jump scares.
It's like just sort of force of nature, like just nonsense.
But you don't give a shit about any of the characters. The characters are non-existent.
No, they're fodder. They are. But I kind of, you're not supposed to, right? Like,
well, then what almost, are you supposed to care about? Well, there's nothing to care about in the movie.
Well, I think it's just kind of. I think it's kind of interesting to be there from the perspective of a guy who is just experiencing. Like, it's interesting to experience all the stuff he hears. He's basically just getting audio logs from well, again, BioShock, though, because
like I said before, the problem is that you don't like it. It's not from his perspective, because you're constantly like the very first guy he comes across, right? You can hear him talking to the cop that's like a quarter mile away from that guy, but it's like perfectly clear. It's like he wouldn't be able to hear that. Like, why can he hear that?
He does observe. He is in every scene where anything happens, so he observes everything that does happen.
Right, but it's not from his perspective.
They kind of shot it like they were making a Resident Evil game, where every once in a while it's over his shoulder, but then every once in a while it's a fixed position in the corner of a room. But that's a good way like, to put it. I don't know. So far, I'm not hating it, so we'll see how that goes. And now I can't turn it to Sean because Sean not here no more. So I guess. We should talk about Delicatessen.
Yeah, let's talk about Delicatessen. Oh,
wait, myself. I paused myself.
I like that you paused yourself.
I immediately interrupted myself. Have I told you about Patty LaPelle? Have you seen that website?
Excuse me? No.
There's a website called Patty LaPelle, and they have a Dunkachino throw blanket, but they also sell a pin of Nicole Kidman at the AMC thing, like with the shining lights behind her, like they have a pin of her.
You gotta send me the link to that. I need that.
So
I think I sent you guys. The only way I can describe them is like '90s like hip hop shirts, where it's like a picture, but then it's like the like big font. Like somebody made like the Nicole Kidman one like that, and I wanted to buy it, and they sold out of it like immediately. I was like, damn.
Yeah. So here, I'll just it's.
I don't think anyone enjoys that stupid Nicole Kidman bumper as much as I do. Every time I see it, every week, I get a little chuckle. It's always makes me laugh.
They have insane references on here. Like they've got like a pin that looks like the amateur sketch of the leprechaun. Like he looked like a leprechaun
hell
to me.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
So anyway, I'll send that to the group chat and then we can talk about,
I'm all about that.
So, and here we are.
So Gogs, what happened in Delicatessen?
What doesn't happen in Delicatessen? We are, the movie opens.
I'm going to interrupt you immediately. Have you seen this before?
I thought I had. It turns out I had not.
Okay.
I thought I'd watched this movie. I think I got it mixed. I think I had every intention to watch it earlier in life. And I think I just had its aesthetic mixed up with The City of Lost Children.
Which is very, I mean, the guy has a very, like, he has a very identifiable, like, visual style. Like, and I'd say City of Lost Children is very similar to this.
And to a lesser extent, Alien Resurrection, which also stars our main character.
Oh, yeah, he is in that. I forgot he's in like the a wheelchair. Scientist, right?
Yeah.
Oh, no, that's right.
He's like the tech guy that's part of the... Him and Ron Perlman are hanging out.
When I was younger, before Alien Resurrection came out, I was so excited because, like, Anthony and I had just watched City of Lost Children, and we're like, that guy's gonna make an alien movie, it's gonna be sick. And yet, we didn't say it was sick back then. But, yeah, so disappointed in that fucking movie.
So anyway, welcome back.
Hey.
So anyway, Delicatessen.
We're talking about Delicatessen now.
A world in a world where, like the movie opens with a man dressing himself up like garbage, or as they say in France, garbage, so that he can escape this lone little like 4-story apartment building that is surviving post-apocalypse. It still has lights. It still has water. But he's trying to get out because why is he trying to get out? Because on the ground floor lives a mad butcher and he turns handymen into handy meats. and serves it to the people that live in the tower because they trade their lentils to him because lentils are the only form of currency because maybe some sort of alien has come to Earth and eats seeds and all plants. So people are subsisting.
It's not really clear. They only talk about it briefly in the movie.
They have like a Hey Bastard moment where they're looking at like a World War II propaganda poster of like maybe an alien. So all the residents in the building trade their lentils or their genitals for meats. Meats of handymen. So now the handyman has been eaten, and now it's time for the cycle to start anew. So they put out, in this post-apocalypse, there's still want ads. And who comes to answer the want ad but our protagonist, Louisiana, or Luzon, or whatever hell his name is.
Louis-ton? Oh, go ahead.
Louis-ton, yes. Yes, Sean.
I forgot about this feature already.
To break decorum, but like I'm gonna keep dropping out. Can I just do my bit and then get off?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, that's fine.
Like I this came out like 91, so I probably didn't see it till like 96 or 97 when we all became like baby film bros, and I probably saw it and feel the same way about it that I feel about like Run Lola Run. Like I was really into it because it was different, and watching it this time, while I recognize it's good, just didn't connect with me in the same way. Like it's a little shrill. I don't know. Just like I didn't love it. It's like a 6 for me.
There.
Wow.
Yeah. I don't know. It's like that it's a black president Huey Freeman episode of the Boondocks where it's like, oh, you should love Obama. You love XYZ. And I'm just like, eh. And it's like this motherfucker said eh. But I think it's a gorgeous movie. I think aesthetically it's really good. It just didn't hit for me the same way, but I'm going to drop out again probably. So I love you guys.
Okay.
Love you, buddy. From your lips to Gog's ears. Anyway, so now to go back to how insane this movie is, they ate their last superintendent. So he puts out a want ad, and a retired circus clown has decided to answer the call because his monkey assistant has also been eaten recently. And now he needs.
I know we're going to get into it a little later, but I do love the point in the movie where the daughter or whatever, she thinks Dr. Livingston was a man and she's like, oh my God, like he's experienced this. And when you find out Dr. Livingston was a monkey, I that's a fun little moment in the movie.
It's a good review.
Yeah.
So, right. So then. Like the movie continues and there's just a bunch of weird, it really is. It's almost like a French absurdist post-apocalyptic Four Rooms in a lot of ways.
It's very like old, like almost like a silent movie. It's like an old comedy, like very like Charlie Chaplin-y. Cause it's there's a lot of gags in this movie. Like it's a lot of like.
Yeah. There's a lot of prop comedy. Yes, Alec.
This reminded me of Mr. Bean.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
A lot. Yeah,
totally. Totally.
And that's not necessarily a good thing.
That's fair. a lot of physical comedy.
Excuse me. That's a terrible Mr. Bean.
That's pretty good. I like
that. Nah, that was real bad. I can I know my limit. I shouldn't even try it.
Well, the movie, like I say, the movie is just, it's a whole bunch of like scenes is this whole weird hodgepodge. There's a family of four with two kids that like to steal panties. There's a woman who has sex.
The best is the first time you see this, kids, they're fucking smoking.
Yeah. French children are born with cigarettes.
It's very, I don't know why, but like, it's just fucking hilarious to me to watch a child smoke a cigarette. And like now, you know, that's one of those things, like, there ain't no way. Like, even you do that nowadays. Like, even French movies, I don't think they do it nowadays.
Even the French wouldn't stoop so low. Well, they should remake it and the kids just putting in lip pillows or whatever they call them nowadays.
Upper deck and lower deck.
Zinners. Yeah. So anywho, like the geography of this building doesn't make a ton of sense because there's a man who lives somewhere in the building who's turned his house into a swamp full of frogs. My favorite
character, the frog guy. And he, like, at one point, I think he feels like he's become a frog. Because yeah. he has frog eyes, and he has, like, a, what do you call those, like, party favors?
Yeah, he catches a fly with one of those, like, yeah. like, whippledoos or whatever, those little paper things.
Also, like, I don't know how you guys feel, but when I saw that scene, when you, every time they go back to the Frogman's apartment, can you imagine, like, how awful that must have been to shoot those scenes? Just that wet room with all those frogs.
And just that pile of snail shells. And do snails just take zero resources to create? Like, I don't understand.
Well, I think they, don't they eat, like, I think I could be wrong. I think snails are one of those things that are, like, asexual. I think they can, like, that's not the right word, right? They can, like, self-reproduce.
Yeah. Well, right, but, like, conservation of matter almost demands that they eat something, like, so.
I think they can eat, like, I think they eat, like scum and stuff, like shit on the water. Well, so, probably. So the ecology of, like, all those frogs, they probably eat, like, the frog so
he,
shit.
He just lives in a terrarium. Algae. Algae's just scientific scum.
My favorite tight end from the late 90s, Algae Crumpler.
Hell yeah.
So there's a mailman who comes by every once in a while with a pistol and talk of the underground and wanting to know when the new guy's gonna get
it. That guy's an important character. That guy is the postman.
Right, the postman.
Yeah, which I think is cool because, like, I love in the when the daughter gets that package and there's, like, this big, like, scrum, like, the postman is, like, the, postman is, like, the de facto police in this.
Yeah, there's two gentlemen who make sound boxes in their wood shop / apartment. There's a couple where the one woman is just trying to end herself in the silliest, mousetrap-esque ways possible.
What's that Rube Goldberg machine.
And one time she tries to bat for the sight. Towards the end, she's got a gun pointed at her. She's got gas that's going to explode. She's about to eat a fistful of pills and hang herself.
And you forgot that one of the brothers that you just talked about, she casually says that one of the first times you see her, that she's hearing voices. And, right. And the one brother is giving her the voices through the pipes in the wall, and the other brother is trying to fuck her. It's
right. They're just gaslighting her into.
I don't know if you can tell my elation, but there is a glaive later on. Yeah.
You're talking about the Australian? Yeah. The pocket knife that makes zero sense that the circus clown
picking apart the logic in this movie?
No, I'm not picking that shit. There's a whole group of sewer dwellers. So anyways, the daughter of the butcher lives there. She effectively falls in love with our main character, who is just a charming idiot who's good enough at painting ceilings while tied to a wall with his own suspenders. The butcher bangs the only hot chick in the whole building for meat purposes. There's a big old mix-up.
I find that woman very attractive.
Well, you would be correct.
That woman is very, like, classically, you know, she has, like, that kind of, like, 50s, like,
got that aesthetic.
She's a little thick. I like that.
Yeah. So, yeah, very, very heavy set of apocalypse, actually.
The butcher refers to her, what does he call her tits? He's like, there's like, he's like, utter,
yeah.
Something real, like tits.
The butcher's a real man's man. Anyway, this guy, so the daughter of the butcher,
suck sort of, blue.
The daughter of the butcher basically falls in love with the clown man, but she, like, accidentally, like, sleep poisons him one time and can't tell him what's going on. There's chaos ensues. Eventually, well,
the daughter is like, I mean, I really feel like the movie is very interesting on a moral level because Luis or whatever, the main character, the clown guy, at one point, he's not even upset that the people killed his partner, the monkey, because he's like, I love the line where he's like, well, nobody's evil. There's always, nobody's pure evil. There's like circumstances, right? And I think that's like, I think this movie is actually, for as silly and goofy as it is, I think there's like a lot of heart to this movie. I think that's
that strikes a chord with the butcher for a minute there, yeah, too. He almost like kind of like comes around. And then
crazy as this movie gets, like the, even like the wife of the family with the two kids, like, you know, she's not like, she's at the end of the day, she's trying to survive, right? Like she's not like there. None of the people in this are like absolutely horrendous. Possibly the suicide woman's husband. I don't know, but
yeah, that guy. Well, I
don't really know much about him. Like he doesn't really just awful to be around because she constantly wants to kill herself.
Well, I thought she did because of the voices.
Well, I think is it because, yeah, well, yeah, I guess it is.
Because the one brother flips out on him because of
the
voices, right? So anywho.
Good.
So she, daughter wants to rebel. The daughter wants to rebel against her butcher dad and she doesn't eat the meat. So I don't know how she survives. I guess just on sweets brought by the postman. She eventually makes her way to the literal and figurative underground.
I also love that, right? Like, I love the fact that, like, the underground resistance literally lives underground.
I believe they are also hunted for sport and meat, and they are all vegetarians, yes, if memory serves. And
also, Louis Tong, or whatever, he also says in the beginning of the movie that he doesn't eat meat. He says he does, so. I think it's implied, I mean, not explicitly, but it's implied that because they say—
At this point, any meat is—
Right, because they say throughout the movie, like, I think the butcher says, like, there's no more rats. Like, I think they imply that there are no more animals left in the world. So if you eat meat, you are explicitly eating human meat.
So with that being said—
I got a guy.
Like, the guy, like, he shows up—
Got a human meat guy.
You got a guy for that? You got a human meat guy? So I guess that does paint an interesting picture because he then voluntarily shows up to be a handyman at a cannibal factory, presumably. But anywho, an old lady gets eaten, another man's leg gets hacked off and through a mishap of circumstance. Eventually, The underground decides they're gonna pull an Ocean's 11, an Ocean's Onze, and they want to steal all of the lentils from the butchers.
How long have you been sitting on that?
I just made it up, honestly.
Oh, that's fantastic, dude.
And so they collaborate with the daughter, and they give her a coffee grinder radio. And then, mid-caper, all hell literally breaks loose as everyone decides that now is the time to eat the janitor. Also, the woman that's going to kill herself manages to explode her part of the building.
We also forgot that the underground people kidnap the wrong person.
They kidnap Letitz.
Right. It's funny because if you can't tell by the smile in my voice over this movie, I really enjoy this movie a lot. But I love when the fucking underground people take the hot woman underground and then they like, it was supposed to be a man. And then they're like arguing about it. They're like, well,
he was like, as in maybe she's wearing clown shoes. It's like, come on.
right.
This is very clearly not the right person.
Also hilarious that, the main character wears literal clown shoes throughout the whole movie. So
yeah, it's a fun time. So anywho, in the third act, in the third act, everyone's getting together to watch. So throughout the movie, Luzon is showing off his whipsawing abilities. He's showing off his dancing, his clowning, his ability to make Steve Martin-esque, meat cleaver in the head scenario for his new routine he's working on. And then somehow in this apocalypse, there's still TV and they get word through the newspaper that Luzon and Livingston will be on the TV tonight. So the whole building's getting ready to tune in, to watch the janitor clown do his thing. Meanwhile, the butcher is on the roof trying to make sure that no one sees it by destroying the aerial antenna. This leads to a big fight. The woman tries to kill herself, explodes the building because she doesn't do that successfully. Meanwhile, the heist is happening, but the heist is going poorly.
I also think that him going to the roof, fucking with the antenna, will cause the clown guy to go up on the roof. So I think he was trying to get him up there.
Oh, he's trying to lure him.
Yeah.
Right. So then, the building hasn't exploded yet because they get chased through the building. It's time to eat the janitor. They hide in a bathroom with the daughter and they flood the place. They stuff the place. They plug it. Excellent construction in post-apocalyptic France because they made a watertight bathroom using just a regular door and some t-shirts. They flood the whole place out. The door comes crashing in, washes everyone out. The building explodes. At the end of the day, the butcher is, being a real prick about it, and he boomerangs himself.
The glaive that Sean was talking about earlier. Earlier in the movie, the clown guy, he knocks down some panties from a light post outside the window, but he explains that the tool is only as good as its master. So later on, the butcher just throws it thinking it's a regular knife and what's the line from The Simpsons? This thing totally boomeranged on us.
It's boomeranged on us.
But yeah, it sticks right in his head.
It brains him. I believe the postman gets it. I forget how he dies. I watched this like early last week.
The postman, how does the postman get it? I don't know if he dies, but he gets taken out by the underground people.
By the underground people, right?
He kills the fat underground guy. He shoots
the fat
guy.
One, right. Once again, the underground people, I believe, are being hunted for sport as well.
Also, how would anybody get fat in this post-apocalypse?
They pulled it off. And then that's it. Then everyone lives happily ever after in the delicatessen building, presumably eating lentils and no longer eating each other.
The cycle has been broken.
And they play whipsaw and cello on the roof. And we are reminded of simpler times.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm going to try not to just glaze this movie too much, but I love the scene where the butcher is having sex with a woman. And then there's all these things happening to the beat of the springs.
To the
like,
rhythm.
It's very like musical. It's like a rhythmic scene. I thought that was so clever. Like, I don't know. I feel like, earlier we were talking about like movies that have like zero passion and no vision. And like, this seems like all passion and all vision. Like, this is a very wholly unique film. Like, I don't think I've ever, besides his movies, I don't know if I've ever seen anything like this movie. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. It is bananas. It probably wouldn't get made today. Maybe, I don't know. I don't know what France is doing. They had Gojira opening.
I mean, he's still making movies. He's still out there.
Has he made anything recently?
He made some movie that's called like Big Bug that's on Netflix and it looks real bad because unfortunately it looks like it's very CGI heavy, which is super disappointing that he went to CGI. But I don't know.
I never saw Amelie.
Oh, it's great.
You should. It's much better than this.
Mm. You burnt this. You burnt delicatessen.
I mean,
Big Bug is on Netflix, and he put that out. He put it out in 2022, but it looks very, and it's like sci-fi, but it looks. Maybe I'll watch it, but not very good reviews.
Alec, as I'm gonna steal TJ's bit. As a man who knows his way around a retail establishment, was your favorite part of the film the transactions?
Oh, there were transactions. There were very few.
My favorite part of the film was his ability to maintain his knives.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Future, because my meat cutters can't do that now in a non-post-apocalyptic future. Yet his knives looked perfect. No dents, no dings. He was even using the What's the other, the steel stick.
The honing steel.
Yeah, he was even using that properly. Well, some thought went into his knife work.
He loved his cleavers. He needed his cleavers. He called for them.
Very important. I really did not like that this movie feels like not visually, but the way it was shot, it looks like it was shot to be a show. Like, you know what I mean? Had that, like,
it's like weird. The show, like a stage show or like a TV show?
No, like a TV show. Just like the lighting. I don't know. I feel like it had a weird,
like a yellow filter on everything.
Kind of. And like how British TV shows look, like, kind of washed out a little bit. It kind of looked like that. That might have just been like how the cameras were in France in the early 90s.
I could see that. I mean, it has kind of like a like an older pastiche, you know what I mean, anyway. Like, I think it's going for like a, you know what I mean, with like the black and white TV. Everything is kind of like tinged like brown and yellow. You know what I mean? It's very like drab and old looking.
It reminded me of that show, Are You Being Served? Oh, yeah. The way that would look, like, kind of, yeah, everything's kind of just old, probably because it's all on a film, actual film, and they're just re-showing that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I thought this movie was, I didn't love it. I didn't hate it. But it's not the movie's fault, I thought of this. The whole time I was just thinking of Amelie, and, like, I love Amelie.
Amelie's great, yeah.
I love Amelie, like, that's what I was saying a few minutes ago, Gog. Like, this is, like, fine. Amelie is, like, a masterpiece.
What is, like, Amelie about?
Really nothing. Kind of whimsical. It's about a girl who, but she falls in love and then the guy runs away and then she helps an old blind man find love or something. But it's very whimsical and there's lots of like, you're seeing things in her head and like through her eyes, how she sees the world in this weird, like, flowery, vision.
Mm-hmm.
Amelie actually kind of reminds me of, and not the tone of the movie or at all, of Run Lola Run, the way you kind of see everything through her eyes.
I could definitely see that.
And Run Lola Run fucking rocks too.
Yeah, I need to rewatch that. I haven't watched that in years.
It's a banger.
I remember really liking it.
But Amelie's it's not fair. But Amelie's like one of the best movies like ever made.
Wow.
Like, this is not one of the best movies ever made.
High praise.
I would say, yeah. Amelie's in like all those lists. Like,
it's very good. Yeah.
50 movies, that. Like top 50 movies ever made or stuff like that. Like, it always comes up.
It's on the Plex too, Gogs. I think I put everything he made on here. So I was in a mood to watch his other stuff. City of Lost Children, I really like too. I like all of his movies. Well, at least the ones I've seen. Anthony told me I need to watch some movie called like Micmax or something. I haven't seen that. I need to watch that. But yeah, I mean, I get what you're saying. Like, sometimes it's tough. I mean, this is his first film. So you know what I mean? Like, I'm sure that you notice like a lot of like, there's a lot of visual similarities between this and Amelie, but like he's more refined. You know what I mean? Like he's already made a bunch of stuff by the time Amelie comes out. And also, like, I think the thing that really worked in Amelie's favor a lot for him as a filmmaker is that was the movie he made directly after Alien. So like that was a disaster. And then he had to get back in his comfort zone and he made like his best movie. You know what I mean? Mm. I think that's pretty impressive.
Are there any pigs in Amelie?
Think so.
No.
I could have looked up what pig is in French. Anything else you want to talk about before we get to five knuckle shuffles? All right. Alec, why not?
I'm going to echo Sean. I'm going to give it a 6. I think it was good and I could see why people like it. It just didn't quite do it for me. And it's probably no fault of his own, because as soon as I found out I was directed by a thing I had directed Amelie, I was waiting for, like, Amelie. And this has some of that, like, level of, like,
definitely similar.
Some of that level of, like, magic and whimsy to it, but not to the same level. And it's not meant to be, and I understand that. It's just, it's probably my own fault for thinking, for giving it this score, because it's just how I mentally approach the movie, but I'm gonna give it a 6.
Fair.
Definitely had some fun parts. I like the part where they were, the screen or the camera was like inside the TV.
Yeah, I like
looking out at the people. You could see what was on the TV also. I thought that was neat. And some neat shots like that. But also like anytime they showed all those mole people, I was like, oh my God, like, can we please just stop? With all their ridiculous noises and French faces.
Like, all their weird, and all their weird names. Like,
Le Poy, Le Juan.
Fox. Like, it's Fox. Always like super French names and then a guy named Fox.
Like, so yeah, I'm gonna give it a 6. Guys.
I'm gonna give it an 8. It's just cause it's a, like, it's a weird big swing. And it's well made, and it's like, I don't know, it's like unlike, it's getting a lot of points for being unlike anything I've ever seen. And it's wild to see something that has such a dark premise done with such whimsy. And like making it like sort of like a playful, it's the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, but it's playful. So like, do with that what you will. I don't know. It's just so fucking strange that it's like, it's like a platypus. Like, it elevates it a little bit. I think it's shot beautifully. I think it's well acted. You're right. It's French as fuck. It's in the post-apocalypse.
Possibly the most French thing ever made.
It is super French, but it's a post-apocalyptic movie. I love those. It's a good time. Am I going to revisit it a lot? I don't know. I'll probably go back to it every once in a while. The Butcher's kind of fun and like a arch, like, like super big boss arch way. So like, you know, it's, and this being my first viewing, I'm kind of with it. I get why people would latch onto it as like a film bro-y kind of way, but I'm kind of like, I appreciate the craft. I appreciate what's going on here. It's something unlike anything I've ever seen. So, 8. TJ.
It's a 9 for me, dog. I love this movie. I think this movie's great. I don't know. There's something about the old timiness of the structure of the jokes that really work for me. I don't know why. I mean, I do like old, like, Charlie Chaplin movies, but like, I just, there's something that's just really, it's so odd, like the way things are structured in this movie. And it's one of those things too, where the visuals and the direction and the editing, everything works together, right? Like, the writing is super, like, you couldn't, if you took one of those elements out of this movie, like if you had someone else direct this on this script, they would have done something completely different and it wouldn't work. And like you just said, Gogs, like, the storyline is very dark, but like, I don't think it's like a dark movie. Like, it's not like a gruesome film. You know what I mean? Like, it's very, like, cartoony almost. Like, it's like a Looney Tune. And the Butcher himself is like an evil person, but like, even he's kind of silly. I mean, the opening sequence, I think is so great, where the guy's like dressing himself up like fucking trash. And he's got that like trash suit. And it's just like, I love the shots of him in the garbage can. And then like, it's like a little, it's a great little, the open is like a great little silent or a great little short film, right? Cause like, he's, you know, trying to get out and he gets to the he has a plan. He gets to the garbage can and then he hears himself rustling around and he's like, okay, I'm out. And then he opens the can and the Butcher hits him in the head with the fucking cleaver and then credits. Like, so great. Like, it's just, I don't know, man. I just am so impressed by a movie like this that's so meticulously made and so like of its, you know, again, it's, there's nothing like this movie. It's so different
that I think that's why it stands the test of time. This movie's very old. It came out in 1991, for God's sakes. Yeah, I love it. I think this movie's fantastic. I'm a huge, huge, huge fan. I agree with Alec. I don't think it's his best work. Actually, out of Amelie, this, and City of Lost Children, it's the third best out of those three movies, in my opinion, but I still love it. Hmm. Like, I think it's great. But I think Amelie and City of Lost Children are tens. So it's a very close race, you know what I mean? Like, I love this movie. I think this movie is phenomenal. So yeah, it's a 10 for me, dog. I have a pick for next week, unless somebody else wants to supersede my pick. I am going to pick a movie I've already watched, but I feel like maybe I watched it in a bad mood, so maybe I'll like it this time. I'm going to pick Nicolas Cage in Pig, which came out last year, or 2 years ago, I think. He plays like a guy that his pig is stolen, and then he goes on like a rampage to save his pig. It's about like underground culinary experts. It's very interesting. I don't know. I remember not liking it, but it's the classic TJ move of I don't remember why I didn't like it, so I'd like to revisit it and, you know, dissect that.
It's got old boy from Hereditary in it.
Yes, Alex Fox.
Wolf.
Wolf.
Close.
I knew it was some animal.
Some sort of varmint.
Yeah. So yeah, next week, Nicolas Cage's Pig, which I think is already on the Plex, but I will double check.
I am Pig Man. Oink, oink.
Oh man. I wish Tommy was so made Pig Man. We could watch that. I am Pig Man. Oink. Oink. I remember that's the only exposure you had to Tommy was so when I took you to see The Room.
Yeah, that was it. That's all I knew.
Yeah, yeah.
How much I've learned.
All right, everybody. Alec, you got anything to plug?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll see y'all next week. And I'm looking for... Have none of y'all saw Pig, right? I was the only one that watched it?
No. Yeah, I did.
Any way I can sneak in more Nicolas Cage movies into the show, so...
You know what? Let's do it.
All right. See everybody. Oh, P.S. Anthony sucks. He didn't like Long Legs, so he sucks. Terrible opinion. Trash opinion. So former friend of the show, Anthony.
Revoked.
Revoked.
Fuck that, now we're dude. Down we're to
gonna,
one.
We're going to change that the name of the show to the Fuck Anthony Show.
Nate, watch your back, buddy.
The No Anthony
Show. And we gotta have one guy named, boy, you got Anthony. Oh, that joke is always funny to me. It's the No Homers Club.
Homers Club.
No Homers. All right, bye everybody.
Good night, boys.
Bye bye.